our Guru Maharaj Srila Prabhupada was in his very last days of his earthly lila. Due to his sacrificing his life and soul in the service of Sri Giridhari, Sri Krishna, and his spiritual master, he was surrounded by hundreds of loving disciples in his simple room in Sri Vrindavan Dham. And whoever we are, we should know that this body is subjected to old age, disease, and death. But for one who gives his life in the Lord's service, the eternal soul is always in the loving hands of Krishna. So there really is no death for such a soul. Whether we are living, we are simply engrossed in the loving service of the Lord. And after this body goes through its natural evolution and is no longer usable, the soul continues in the spiritual realm of Goloka, in the loving service of the Lord. But during the last days, Srila Prabhupada was so thin, he hadn't eaten anything for many weeks. The doctors told him he should not even move. But Srila Prabhupada requested his disciples, arrange a bullock cart and take me for the parikram of Govardhan Hill. And the devotees could not believe what they were hearing. You want to go on the 21-kilometer parikram of Govardhan Hill? This is impossible. And the doctors said, guaranteed, he cannot survive. And when they told this to Srila Prabhupada, he said, if Krishna wants me to survive, I will survive. And if Krishna does not want, then it will be glorious to leave this body at the lotus feet of Sri Govardhan. So he was very persistent. And finally, the devotees, along with some of his dear god brothers, with tears profusely flowing from their eyes, they begged and pleaded with Srila Prabhupada to remain in his home in Vrindavan. And although his heart was longing to see the beauty of Govardhan Hill and to worship the beautiful form of Govardhan Hill, to please his devotees was ultimately his life and soul. So he agreed, all right, if it causes you pain for me to go, then I will stay. He was willing to endure the most unbearable, incredible pains to worship Govardhan Hill for himself. But to cause pain to his followers, he agreed to stay. So what is this Govardhan Hill that so many of the greatest personalities throughout history have worshipped? Sanatan Goswami, he also had his bhajan kutir within Govardhan Hill at the area of Chakaleshwar Mahadev near Manasaganga. And there he performed his bhajan. Similarly, Raghunath Das Goswami, at the Radha Kund near Govardhan Hill, he performed his bhajan. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself, when he came to Vrindavan, and he was traveling through the forests, when he came upon Govardhan Hill, and he saw the first stone, he began to weep and to cry and to embrace the stone of Govardhan, understanding it to be non-different than the very transcendental body of Lord Sri Krishna. So we'd like to talk a little about this wonderful festival of Govardhan Puja today. In the Garga Samhita, it is explained that in Goloka Vrindavan, the spiritual world, the supreme most of all Vaikuntha planets, Krishna is eternally engaged in the loving pastimes with Srimati Radharani and the gopis and the gopas. And at one time, of course, we must know that when we are speaking of the pastimes in the spiritual world, when we say at one time, it is not in the dimension of the time of this material creation. Because, as it is explained, in the spiritual world, time is conspicuous by its absence. There is no limitation. Nothing has a beginning and nothing has an end in the spiritual world. But still, for the sake of enjoying loving pastimes, there is an appearance of time. Time in this world, Krishna says, is devouring everything. But in the spiritual world, there is no birth, there is no old age, there is no death. Everything is useful. Youthful. But still, Krishna, by his divine Yogamaya potency, he appears to create. So, during the beautiful Ras dance between Radha and Krishna and the gopis, Srimati Radharani, with folded palms and her heart full of Mahabhav, divine love, she approached Lord Sri Krishna and she requested that he fulfill her desire. And Krishna replied, "Oh, most beautiful love of my life, Sri Radhika, whatever you desire, I will fulfill." And she said, "Create here in the beautiful Vrindavan forest a beautiful, beautiful place for us to enjoy the Rasa Lila." So Krishna said, "Whatever you desire, I will fulfill." And then, in the presence of the other gopis, he looked at his chest and he meditated on his own heart. And from his heart, the love of Krishna's heart came out of his heart and out from his chest in the form of a beautiful fire and water. And it entered into the ground of Vrindavan. And like a seed, it began to grow into a beautiful mountain. And that mountain began to grow bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger, until finally Krishna told the mountain, he put his hand on mountain and said, "Now you stop growing. You are big enough." And this mountain was so beautiful, with every type of auspicious tree and waterfalls and lakes and caves. It was the manifestation of the love of Krishna's heart, and it created the most beautiful facility for Radha and Krishna, for the gopis and the gopas to enjoy infinite pastimes. So this is how Sri Giriraj Govardhan appeared in Goloka Vrindavan. Giriraj Maharaj ki! When it was time for Krishna to descend into this material world, he explained his desire to Srimati Radharani, and she said, "My Lord, if you descend into this world, wherever you are, I must be with you. Otherwise, I will certainly give up my life." And Krishna told Sri Radhikarani that certainly, as I descend into the world, you may also descend into the world with me, because I cannot live without you. But Srimati Radharani looked around and she said, "I will go to the world with you, but how can I find any pleasure without the beautiful Vrindavan forest, and without the river Jamuna, and without the hill Govardhan?" So Krishna told Srimati Radharani that before we go, I will send the Vrindavan forest, the Jamuna, and Govardhan hill to expand themselves to also take birth on the planet Earth. So Govardhan hill, by the divine arrangement of Lord Sri Krishna, descended and took birth as the son of a great king of mountains named Drona, in a very, very high, auspicious mountain range. And this Govardhan was the most beautiful, most wonderful, the most auspicious of all mountains. And he was just the pride, the joy, the life of all mountains. Those in the line of mountains. And one day, Pulasya Muni, during the Satya Yuga, he was traveling and he saw this beautiful, beautiful mountain of Govardhan, which was the most beautiful sight that the eyes could possibly behold, with all of its wonderful, peaceful groves of trees and grass, rivers and auspicious birds. Everything was there. So Pulasya Muni, whose ashram was in Varanasi, he was thinking, "We do not have such beautiful mountain in Varanasi." So he requested Drona that you let me take your son Govardhan to my ashram in Varanasi. And Drona was thinking, "How can I live without beautiful Giriraj, the king of all mountains, the most beautiful of all mountains?" But out of respect for the sage, he said, "All right." But Govardhan made a condition: "I will come with you, but if you ever put me down, I will not get up. I will stay wherever you place me." So Pulasya Muni, who was a very, very highly controlled sage, he agreed with this proposal. And he picked up Giriraj and he began to travel. And just when they were approaching Sri Brajabhumi, that beautiful forest of Vrindavan that had already descended, Govardhan looked and was thinking that this is the place that the Supreme Lord, Sri Krishna, will have his wonderful pastimes with Sri Radharani and the Brijvasis. And I have descended to this earth specifically and only to assist in those wonderful pastimes, to give pleasure to Krishna, his cows, and his devotees. So at that time, by the arrangement Krishna, within the heart of Pulasya, could hear the prayers of Govardhan. So, Pulasya Muni, he had an uncontrollable urge to respond to nature. So in order to do so, he placed Govardhan down, and then he took his bath, and when he came back to lift up Govardhan, Govardhan would not move. He was very happy in Vrindavan Dham. So Pulasya Muni said to Giriraj, if you do not move, then I curse you, that you will reduce in size of one mustard seed per day. But it is also said that Govardhan is actually, on a more higher understanding, is reducing in size, feeling separation from Sri Sri Radha and Krishna. So anyways, Govardhan appeared in the beautiful land of Vrindavan. And how wonderful Govardhan served all of the Brijvasis. In fact, in Srimad Bhagavat, the gopis prayed that of all the devotees, Govardhan is the best. Why? Because Govardhan is always providing nice soft grasses for the cows to eat, and nice playgrounds for the gopas to play, and nice caves and groves where the gopis and Krishna can enjoy, and wonderful clear lakes to quench the Brijvasi's thirst. So the gopis considered that whoever is serving the Lord's devotees, whoever is serving the Lord's associates the best, is most dear to Krishna. By making Krishna's cows happy, Krishna is most happy. So they considered Govardhan to be the best of the devotees and the most fortunate of those fortunate. So one day, as Shukadeva Goswami explains, there was a yajna that was being arranged for King Indra. And Krishna saw these grand arrangements. And he asked Nanda Maharaj, just what are you doing? And Nanda Maharaj explained that for many generations, us Brijabasis, we perform this annual puja to Lord Indra because our life is a life of simple living and high thinking. Simply by the grains that grow in the ground and the fruits and the vegetables and the milk that is being given by the cows, all of our economic solutions are solved. Srila Prabhupada explained, and actually the scriptures explained, this is the ideal natural society. To simply be content and happy with the natural gifts of nature. If you have a little bit of land, some food growing, you have some cow, some oxen, the oxen will plow the field, grains, vegetables, fruits, everything will grow. The cow will eat some simple grass, produce milk. From that milk, you can make ghee, yogurt, so many preparations. And in this way, all your economic problems are solved. With the surplus, you can trade it, and you can build a house. Of course, with such a simple life, there's no need for automobiles and gasoline and all these things. Because these things do not bring happiness. They may be a necessity in a civilization that is completely off track. But in a proper civilization, these things we understand they actually only create pollution and agitation. All we require is a simple life. So this is how the Brijbasis were living. They did not have televisions. They did not have radios. They just had nice houses made out of natural ingredients and the cows and the land. And one may think, well, that was 5,000 years ago. They were not scientifically, technologically advanced in those days, so they were content to live without telephones and fax machines and everything else. But actually, they were peaceful. People lived without our modern technology for thousands and millions of years. And even the most advanced sages, rishis, and yogis, if they wanted, they could have created all of these devices. But they understood that there's no need. All we need is the association of nice devotees. All we need is just to come together to discuss Krishna Katha, hear the glories of the Lord, have wonderful kirtans, chanting the holy names. And work hard and produce nicely for the pleasure of Krishna. But Srila Prabhupada explained to us that when you have a thorn in your leg, sometimes you have to take another thorn to get it out. So in the same way, because this whole society is utterly based upon and addicted to all these unnecessary and unwanted facilities, therefore, in order to reach people efficiently, we use the same unwanted facilities for Krishna. And then they become wanted. But he also explained, we'll use it as far as we can to try to spread the glories of the Lord. Because it's the only way to survive in this civilization today, to preach. But at the time when people understand the goal of life, then we will do away with all these things. And we will live like the Brijbasis. Nidayo Premanandi. The Brijbasis didn't simply live simply, but they were always thinking of Krishna. Simple living is useless without high thinking. And high thinking is to always remember Krishna and never forget Krishna. So he was explaining, in order for us to survive, we depend on rain. Bhumi, it is explained in Bhagavad Gita that all living beings subsist on food grains, and food grains are dependent on rains. And Indra is that devata who provides the rains. So, in this way, they were performing exactly the puja that was explained in the scriptures to worship Lord Indra. But Krishna, he understood the supreme glory of Govardhan Hill. Not only was Govardhan Hill serving as the Lord's most intimate devotee, but the hill was an expansion of the Lord himself. So Krishna said, what is this Indra? If we perform good work, Indra, the demigod, has to just give us the karma that we deserve. So he will give us the rains. Why should we be concerned with him? The immediate bestower of good fortune to us is Govardhan Hill. It is Govardhan Hill supplying such nice grains and grasses and such clear waters. So my suggestion, Father, is that we worship the cows, the Brahmins, and Govardhan Hill. And of course, all of the Brijabasis, whatever they did was only for the purpose of pleasing Krishna. They could not conceive They could not even think for a moment of doing anything that wasn't specifically for the pleasure of Krishna. So Nanda Maharaj, Upananda, the other cowherd men, they asked Krishna, "So how should we worship this Govardhan hill?" And Krishna explained. He said that we should take big, big quantities of grains and sugar and all sorts of other foodstuffs, and we should make wonderful, wonderful feast, big, big feast, mountains and mountains of bhoga. So the Brijvasis began to prepare. And he also said, and then we should offer that to Govardhan. And all of the paraphernalia that we were going to offer to Indra, we should use that for this purpose only. And we should worship the cows, the Brahmins, and Govardhan Hill. And after this wonderful ceremony of worship, we should circumambulate the hill, keeping it on our right side. Govardhan Parikram. So whatever Krishna explained was performed, and they cooked wonderful mountains of bhoga, and they circumambulated the hill with the cows in front, and they were all just so happy, clapping and chanting and dancing as they were going around Govardhan Hill, led by Krishna himself. And when they made the offerings, Krishna manifested himself within Govardhan Hill. And all of a sudden, this big, beautiful mountain became personified. And Krishna assumed the form of Govardhan Hill right before everyone's eyes. And when the Brijvasis saw this, they were just struck with wonder. It was such a wonderful sight. And they began to bow down. Even Krishna himself bowed down, because Krishna was still the little cowherd boy, seeing himself in this beautiful form amongst his family members. And all the Brijvasis, the gopas and the gopis, they said, "Oh, Govardhan, we understand that you are supreme. Please give us a benediction. Give us the benediction that you will always provide for our cows and for all of the Brijvasis." And Govardhan said, "So be it." And then they made the offering of all the food. And Giriraj, although there was lakes of liquid sweet preparations, kheer and condensed milk, and there were mountains and mountains and mountains of laddus and pakoras and puris and halwa. Of course, today we have cookies also. And within a second, Giriraj, with his long arms, he just put everything in his mouth and everything was gone. And all the Brijvasis sing mountains and mountains and lakes. Within a second, he ate it all. See, due to the curse of Pulasya Muni, it's getting smaller. And Giriraj said, "Give me more, give me more. Anior, anior." And there was nothing left. Every drop of ghee, all the grains, everything in the whole village of Braja was given to Govardhan. And he was calling out, "Give me more." Because you see, Krishna is Vibhu. He is unlimited. He's the absolute truth. And there is no limit to how much he can taste the sweetness of his devotee's love. In the path of bhakti, the eagerness for the devotee to serve the Lord is insatiable. And the devotee and the Lord's eagerness to taste more and more of that devotion is insatiable. The impersonalists, their ultimate goal in life is to somehow or other excuse me. The impersonalists, their idea is wherever there's action, wherever there's dynamic motion, there's agitation and bondage, because that's the way it is in this material world. The three modes of material nature, they influence us and force us to act in various ways, and we become incriminated in those activities and the reactions, whether it be goodness, passion, or ignorance. So therefore, they want to stop all activity. They simply want to be in a state of stagnant peacefulness, where there's just no thoughts, no action, no words, no anything, just peace. Just lock yourself in to that conception of just peace. Peace means just no sound, no movement, nothing. But that is a condition of stagnancy for the eternal soul. They do not understand the highest spiritual principle of bhakti, shuddha bhakti. In that, there is ultimate peace. There is ultimate satisfaction in pleasing Krishna. But at the same time, that satisfaction is so sweet, it conquers our hearts with so much pleasure, but it is not stagnant, because it has the capacity to eternally increase without cessation. Now, in this world, when we want something, when we are eager for something, it causes frustration. But in bhakti, even though we want more, an unlimited desire for more, still, we are simultaneously satiated with what we have and unsatiated with how much more we want to offer to Krishna. And Krishna's power is that he's eternally, insatiably eager for more and more of the love of his devotees, and the devotees are insatiably eager to offer more of their love to Krishna. Therefore, in the spiritual world, the bliss is dynamic. It is full of life. So Krishna, within a second, ate all the offerings, and he wanted more. And ultimately, the devotees gave him a tulsi leaf, and he was very satisfied. So in this way, with the parikrama of Giriraj and wonderful festivities, Govardhan Hill was worshipped according to the instruction of Lord Sri Krishna. And he revealed himself as being non-different than Krishna himself. And everyone was very happy. But Indra was not very happy, because Narada Muni went to Indra Loka and told Indra, "See what they're doing down there? Krishna, this little cowherd boy, he interrupted your whole puja and took all your paraphernalia, which was meant for your pleasure, and offered it to a mountain." See, Narada Muni is always expert at making controversial arrangements to bring about wonderful pastimes of the Lord to be manifest. So Indra became very angry. He was intolerably furious. And he called for his Sambataka clouds, and he said, "You go to Vrindavan and you destroy it immediately. And these Sambhataka clouds, as you know, they are the ultimate weapon of destruction of Indra. At the time of the Pralaya, the universal dissolution, these clouds pour so much rain that they just make the oceans cover the entire earth within a matter of minutes. And soon, these big, big rumbling clouds appeared in the sky. They were all different colors. And the thunder was deafening. And thunderbolts were flying in all directions from them. And then it started pouring rain. And it is explained that each drop of the rains coming from the Samlataka cloud, each drop was as big as an elephant. And it was just pouring down like pillars. And the Brijvasis, they ran to Nanda Maharaj's house, Nanda Bhavan. And the cows they put in front. And they went before Krishna and they said, "Oh Gopal, on your instruction, we ignored Indra and we worship Govardhan Hill. But now just see, Indra is about to destroy everything. He's about to kill your cows, Krishna." Gopal means the protector of cows. He's about to kill your cows. He's about to kill us too. So Krishna was very calm and very peaceful. And he smiled. He said, "You have nothing to fear from this Indra." He said, "You all assemble near Govardhan Hill." So they all went to Govardhan Hill. And Krishna, by his mystic powers, he arranged it so none of them would even get wet as they were going. And then he himself went to Govardhan Hill, the king of all mountains, and he lifted it up, just like a child lifts up a mushroom, or just like an elephant picks up a lotus flower with his trunk. And with the little finger of his left hand, as Raghunath Das Goswami explains, he held the Govardhan Hill like an umbrella. And he invited all the Brijvasis, "Please come. You come under, take, bring your cows, bring all your household paraphernalia. Nothing will happen." And as he was standing, in his mind he called his Sudarshan Chakra. And his Sudarshan Chakra began to revolve with thousands of suns over Govardhan Hill so that the water would not disturb. And then he called Anantashesha. And Anantashesha, in a mystical form, appeared in a circle around the outer edge of Govardhan Hill so that all the water coming in was blocked and could not come under the hill. And when the little boys, the gopas, saw that how is Krishna holding this big, big mountain? He's only 7 years old. They began to take their sticks and they were thinking, "Let us help Krishna." And they were holding their sticks under Govardhan Hill. And it's actually explained at one time, Krishna just lightly tipped the hill and all of the cowherd boys just fell to the ground. And then he just tilted it back and they got up with their sticks to hold it. And during this seven days where Krishna, as Girivanadhari, lifted the Govardhan Hill effortlessly, you may ask, how did they eat? How did they sleep? Were they setting up kitchens? Were they making places for taking rest at night? Not at all. Because Krishna Chandra, who is so beautiful in this pose of the lifter of Govardhan Hill, attracted their hearts with so much love that all of the Brijabasis, for 7 days and 7 nights, without even blinking their eyes, they were just staring at the beauty of the Lord and the love of their life, Sri Giridhari. And as this mountain was made by the Brahmacharis, right? This mountain is specially designed to keep everybody awake. Because the Brahmacharis know how boring my lectures are. So they constructed this mountain so at regular intervals, gigantic sweet balls will fall to the ground and keep everybody awake. Radhe! Just leave it, leave it. No, don't. Just leave it as it is. Where was I? They were looking at Krishna. He was so beautiful. He was casting his loving glances upon all of them with such affection that they simply, the cows, the calves, the young boys and girls, the older gopis and gopis, they didn't even consider the thought of eating or sleeping for 7 days. They didn't even consider the thought of drinking a drop of water. Because just by drinking the beauty of Krishna through their eyes, they were fully satisfied in ecstatic love. And meanwhile, after 7 days, Indra saw that all of his most powerful energies could not in any way disturb the residents of Vrindavan. So he understood that actually he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So he was wondering what to do. He approached Brihaspati. And Brihaspati told him that you have to surrender to this Krishna. He is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It is from him that you are receiving all of your powers. You have offended him. Not only that, you tried to kill him, and you tried to kill his whole family and all of his devotees. But Brihaspati saw that Indra was very shy. He was very ashamed. After you try to kill somebody and you try to kill his whole community, it's not such an easy thing to go and say, I'm sorry. The only reason he didn't is because he absolutely failed. It's not that he changed his mind. So Brihaspati said that if you want to approach Krishna, you have to approach through one he loves. So you should approach the Surabhi cow. So he approached that mother of all Surabhi cows, who was born from the ocean of milk during the churning. And along with Surabhi, they approached Lord Sri Krishna. But first the rains stopped, and Krishna told the Brijavasis, now you all go back to your homes. And he placed the hill just where it was before. And when Krishna approached him along with Surabhi, he fell down at the lotus feet of Sri Krishna. And he began to beg forgiveness. He had a complete change of heart. He understood that Krishna was the Supreme Lord of all lords, and the perfection of life is simply to please him. There is a saying, do not be proud of borrowed plumes. Everything we have is borrowed from Krishna. He is the source of everything that exists. If we are proud of our beauty or our strength, the infinitesimal portion of His supreme opulence. And the amazing thing is, although Krishna can give every living being in all the universes various quantities of His opulences, He's distributing it to all the gods, all the demigods, all the human beings, all the lower species, everyone. But it does not diminish from His own supreme opulence. If you have a crore of rupees and you give 50 lakhs to someone, then you only have 50 lakhs left. But Krishna, He can give billions of crores of rupees and He has nothing less from Himself. Because His opulences are eternally expanding and growing. Om Purnam Adha Purnam Idam Purnat Purnam Udachyate. He is perfect and complete. And all emanations from Him are perfect and complete, but He remains absolute. So Indra realized, and he begged forgiveness from Krishna, and he surrendered to Krishna. And he prayed to Krishna that you are so kind and merciful because I am your devotee and I became proud. I thought that my abilities were mine. And pride spoils the heart of a Vaishnava devotee. And therefore Krishna's greatest mercy is when he takes that pride away from our heart. Because only in that mood can we pleasingly serve the Lord and His devotees. So Indra, in gratitude to the Lord, surrendered. And he said that the residents of Vrindavan, I was expecting me to worship them as the king, but now I understand that you are the king of all kings. So I want to worship you. So Indra performed a wonderful Abhishek ceremony. And the Surabhi cow bathed him with the ambrosial nectarine milk from herself. And Indra, his elephant carrier, Airavata, he brought water from the celestial Ganges. And they performed the Abhishek for Lord Sri Krishna. And all the demigods in the heavens, as this Abhishek was taking place, they were showering flowers and chanting the glories of the King of all kings, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, who was appearing as a beautiful little cowherd boy of the age of 7 in the sacred land of Vrindavan Dham. And the place where that Abhishek was performed is today called Govinda Kund on the Parikram of Sri Govardhan Hill. And then Indra, taking permission, returned to his celestial planet. And all of the residents of Vrindavan were wondering, how is this possible? Here is Krishna. He's so small and tiny. He's just a child, only 7 years old. And here's Govardhan Hill, a massive, huge mountain. And he lifted it effortlessly. How is it that the residents of Vrindavan were not able to understand that he was the Supreme Personality of Godhead? They still considered him to be just an ordinary child who they love to play with and be with. Because Krishna's beauty was so intense that it attracted such a mood of love from all the Brijvasis that they just
even though seeing him lifting the Govardhan hill, they couldn't conceive him in any other way but their child. Mother Yashoda, Nanda Maharaj, after Krishna put down the Govardhan hill, they began to embrace him, and they began to offer him benedictions and blessings for what he had done. They still thought that he is our child. Today, the Govardhan Hill is such a sacred place of worship that every stone from Govardhan Hill is considered to be none different than Krishna himself. Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he was living in Jagannath Puri, one sannyasi came from Vrindavan and brought him a Govardhan Shila. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu he would wear that Shila for many years around his neck. And when he was in his various moods of ecstatic love, he would bathe that Shila with his own tears. And sometimes he would embrace it to his eyes and to his heart. And he would say that this Shila is the body of Krishna. We may ask, how is it possible? But for Krishna, everything is possible. Although Krishna, in the whole form of Govardhan Hill, is worshipped as the Supreme Person, every little part of it is also perfect and complete in itself as the Supreme Person. This is the divine opulence of Sri Krishna. And today, by our good fortune, one of our very dear friends, Ramananda Rai, who was given a Govardhan Shila by some Brijbasis, he has brought Giriraj to be placed just in front of Sri Sri Radha Gopinath to enjoy this beautiful ceremony of Govardhan Puja and to give pleasure to all of the devotees. Govardhan means one who gives pleasure to Krishna's cows. And one who gives pleasure to Krishna's senses. And especially one who gives pleasure to Krishna's devotees. Ye yathamam prapadyante tamstadaiva bhajamya. As we approach Giriraj, Giriraj will reciprocate and reveal himself accordingly. So today, following in the footsteps of Lord Sri Krishna, in his instructions, we are celebrating Govardhan Puja. We read in Chaitanya Charitamrita how Krishna appeared and instructed Sri Madhavendra Puri to also perform this wonderful ceremony. And it's so wonderful. You see all these beautiful, elegant mountains of bhoga. Now it is prasad. I forgot to tell you, after Krishna ate all the food and he was satisfied, within a second he gave it all back. There were all the lakes and all the mountains. And the Brijvasis, they enjoyed a wonderful, wonderful, sumptuous feast. And they fed everyone according to Krishna's instructions. So we should know that these beautiful, beautiful offerings of prasad, they take great, to make mountains of bhoga takes a lot of energy. I saw our brahmacharis for the past week practically. They were spending all of their extra time, overtime, crowds of them in the kitchen, just preparing mountains And many of our congregational devotees who live outside, they spent many days, overtime, and much money, of course, personally with their own hands, preparing wonderful, wonderful offerings. And the more we offer to Krishna, the more Krishna reciprocates, both individually as well as collectively. As a family of Vaishnavas, the more we come together as a group to make wonderful offerings of love to Krishna, the more Krishna reciprocates and fills our hearts with wonderful love for Him as well as for one another. And this is the perfection of life. Hari Om. So after Kardama Muniji gives translation, then the supreme offering of a wonderful, tumultuous performance of Sankirtan for the pleasure of Sri Giriraj, we will offer. When we're enthusiastic in our devotional service, when we're enthusiastic to perform the kirtan of the holy name, and we make the other devotees happy, we should know that Krishna is very, very happy. Sri Giriraj Maharaj Ki Hari Om. So Srila Prabhupada, in his last days, capturing the true spirit of a pure Brijavasi in the real sense, he wanted to worship Govardhan Hill. But not only that, but he spread this wonderful festival to practically every town and village in the world, and gave us all, on every continent on earth, devotees are coming together to worship Govardhan Hill by his divine grace. Srila Prabhupada ki.